Hello and welcome to the program Access to Justice, the Carter Center sponsored program on Star Radio FM 104. I'm Bruce Boer, your usual Lakehot friend, and today I have with me Councillor Micah Wilkins Wright. He's the president of the National Bar Association. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bruce. Happy to be here.
Today we'll be looking at rule of law, what it is, and how can we achieve rule of law. And then Councillor Wright will also be talking about access to justice. You remember the Solicitor General was here and he said Liberians have access to justice. The JPC boss was also here and said that is not true. So we'll be trying to establish the fact about these issues today. First of all, what is rule of law?
Well, rule of law is that philosophy. It's a state of mind where people believe that instead of taking the laws into their own hands, they will submit to a culture or civilization whereby there will be an impartial referee, so to speak, that will adjudicate their rights and they will not have to vindicate themselves. So that it is a culture where a body of people or a community or a country decides we're not going to defend ourselves, but we're going to let the law take its course, and the law will be the common denominator between and amongst the whole citizenry. That is what the rule of law is.
So that means you have laws in place that govern people.
Yeah, the laws are there, but the concept of rule of law is that the people to be governed by those laws must agree and accept that they will be governed by law.
To live by the law. And once you have that, then you have rule of law.
Yeah, you have rule of law, and then rule of law flows into other things.
What are some of those things?
For example, the rule of law would flow into and contribute towards peace, towards justice, fairness, towards equality in society, towards harmony in the society itself, because the people would have changed their mental framework wherein they would say, I'm not going to avenge myself. I'm going to let the law take its course. And once the law speaks, then we have to respect what the law says. That is rule of law.
How can we achieve the rule of law in a society like Liberia that just came from 15 years of a brutal civil war?
Liberians have to change their mindset that there is not going to be jungle justice on the one hand, but by the same token, there is not going to be impunity, so that you will counterbalance impunity against jungle justice, mob violence, might make right, whereby we all will agree that whatever happens, we are not going to take to violence, we are not going to be unruly, we're going to submit to the rule of law, we're going to submit to the court system. The fundamentals of rule of law is a sine qua non to peace and harmony and justice in the society.
When you talk about jungle justice and taking the law in your own hands, people will really want to know, you. How can you explain that in simple terms for our people?
Well, to begin with, Bruce, let me just clarify. Many people in this country believe when they use the word justice, it means that they have won a case. Justice does not mean winning a case.
When you win, then it's justice. That's what a lot of people believe.
That is the mentality of most people, that if the court gives a ruling in their favor, the courts are fair, the courts are good. Immediately they get a ruling that is adverse to their interest, there's no justice and there's corruption. But that is not true.
So you big people also do that too?
Well, yes.
Government officials and so forth.
Many of us at every level. Knowledge of the law got nothing to do with big people and small people. Knowledge of the law is education. And we who are lawyers have a duty to educate the public, to explain to them so they can know what rights they have, what limitations they have on those rights.
How will the people believe these things that you're saying when people they expect to know them will come up to say the courts are corrupt, the judges are inefficient?
Well, the self-condemnation by us lawyers and some top government officials in some cases contribute to some of the problems. Let me just hasten to say that the judiciary of any country has its own problems. For example, in the great United States, you recall the election of President Bush. The Supreme Court of the United States was split 5-4 on party lines. 5 Republicans, 4 Democrats made George Bush president. Now, having said that, that is not to say that that court is corrupt per se. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there are limitations and there are expectations in every society. And the norms of that society will by and large dictate how the court governs itself. Now, coming to our own situation, Liberia is coming out of war. And even before the war, justice is fairness. Justice is each party, each person getting what they deserve. That the simple definition
under the
of
law.
What justice is. Under the law, get what is right, what is fair. That is justice. You may not win, but you were treated fairly. Your rights were protected. That is justice.
That's how everybody should see it.
That's how everybody should see it. And we who are enlightened, or we who claim to be enlightened, should enlighten the public and tell them that justice is not just winning a case, but justice is seeing to it that the rights of everybody is protected. And that is the concept of the rule of law. If we submit to the doctrine of the rule of law, then we are assured that our rights will be protected. We are not saying that we will win every case, but that our rights will not be violated. That is the concept of the rule of law. Now, our people need to know that jungle justice and impunity, they are direct opposites of one another. In other words, a person, they do something, get away with it, there's no punishment. So somebody feels that, say, Mr. A did it, then I can do it too.
And that's impunity.
That's impunity. The reverse is true. If impunity persists in a society, it leads people to take the law into their own hands. That is what we call jungle justice. In other words, if the courts will fail us, then the people lose hope in the rule of law, and then they say, well, I'm not going to wait for no rule of law. I'm going to do what I can do to help myself. That is what we call jungle justice. That's what we call mob violence. Say, for example, a person is suspected, I use the word suspected, of engaging in armed robbery or rape. Immediately, the sound goes out, a crowd gathers around, they're ready to beat somebody, they're ready to tie the person. In some cases, we have heard where they bring somebody. Instead of saying, I'm going to take the person to the police, let the police take them to the court, and the law will take its course. The law will decide what happens to this person. But they say, well, we're not going to wait for no court. We're not going to the police station. We're going to beat this man up. We're going to burn him with car tires.
Because we're frustrated in the court system, maybe.
Under the concept of the rule of law, we are appealing to our people to give the courts a chance, give the legal system a chance to work. If they do, and then they don't get the results that they have, then the other side of that is there are other consequences or there are contributing factors.
What are those factors?
The people in the community, they arrest somebody, say this man is an armed robber. The police arrest the man, lock the man up. They charge the man, send the man to court. The court indicts the man, and they send the man to jail. The man stays in jail 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and nobody comes forward to assist the government to prosecute this man. Mind you, the victim has a right in the situation with the armed robbery. But equally so, the perpetrator, the accused, also has rights. So it is unfair that nobody will come forward to testify for the state to present evidence that could lead to a conviction. But the people only want to see, once the man is suspected, he must stay in jail forever. The other side of that is, that man has rights too.
The man who's accused of armed robbery also has rights.
He has rights. And those rights must be protected under the law. That is also justice.
So ignorance plays in between here too, maybe.
Imprisonment is a concept of our people that needs to be set in proper perspective and corrected. Most people in local communities believe that once somebody goes to jail, that's the end of the matter. And that is not the end.
When does the end come?
The end comes if and when that person is tried and convicted and sentenced. When he is sentenced and is serving that sentence in jail, then his being in jail is proper. But before conviction, his being in jail indefinitely is wrong. So it is violating his rights. The government, the justice ministry, the prosecutor, cannot work miracles. And under the law, that person who is accused of rape or armed robbery is only accused. Under the law, he is presumed to be innocent.
What does that mean?
We should not come to the conclusion that simply because somebody is charged or accused with a crime, that automatically that accusation is true or that that accusation amounts to conviction. The accusation is only a charge against the man. And the conviction stems from trial and the production of evidence. And that evidence must be convincing beyond a reasonable doubt. And if the jurors, or if the judge says we are a jury, then the judge determines that there is insufficient evidence to convict this man, then the court will acquit the man. The man is not guilty until he is pronounced guilty as a result of a trial.
Until he goes through the court process.
Correct. And that is what we call a rule of law.
Can improving access to justice strengthen the rule of law?
Access to justice is a precondition, I would say, to a culture of the rule of law. To really enjoying the rule of law to its fullest, the people must have access to justice.
What then is access to justice?
All right, thank you very much. Access to justice means that first, the system must be put in place that when people come to the courts, that they will be able to get redress. That there is a court system in place that is the substitute for taking the law into your own hands. That the courts will be fair, that the courts are there, and we should submit to the rulings of the court. Access to justice means that, first, the system, the infrastructure is put in place. Second, it is affordable to the people. Our Constitution says that justice shall be done without sale. It must be inexpensive. It must be accessible. That means anybody should be able to come to the court.
Now, and get legal redress.
And get legal redress and get justice. Now, the problem many people experience is that in private matters, legal services are not free.
In private matters?
In private matters.
What are private matters?
Where there are tort actions, that means actions between private individuals. You do a wrong against my right, I have a right to seek legal redress against you. Now, to get legal defense is not free. Now, in criminal matters, the reverse is true. If a person who is accused cannot afford legal representation, the law provides that the government must provide legal services for that accused. In civil matters, in private cases, there is no requirement that anybody should provide legal services for you. So if you don't have money to hire the services of a lawyer, then just too bad.
Then you just forget about it.
Then you forget about it. But beyond that, there are institutions in place to provide free legal services to indigent persons in civil matters.
Who are indigents?
Indigent means persons who cannot afford legal representation, cannot afford to pay. Now, let me say this. I did not say poor people. I said indigent people. You may have indigent persons who may not necessarily be poor.
How can that be?
For example, if a person is in a position where, despite assets they otherwise have, but their rights to those access, their ability to reach those access are curtailed. They may not necessarily be poor in economic terms, but they are indigent insofar as their ability to pay for legal services under their own conditions. Therefore, they would need assistance. This is where the concept of legal aid would come in, where you have institutions specifically established that would render free legal services to persons who cannot afford to pay for it under the existing circumstances facing that person.
Do we have some of those institutions here?
Your sponsor of this particular program, the Carter Center, they are a major human rights champion around the world. And so basically human rights institutions such as the Carter Center, you have local institutions such as
the JPC.
The JPC, for example, the Female Lawyers Association, AFL. There is a Center for the Protection of Human Rights headed by Counselor Dempster Brown. And there is Center for Human Rights Education founded by Counselor Benedict Sano many years ago. I think it's still in operation. But these are just but a few of such institutions. In fact, the National Bar Association, of which we are head, has a committee called Legal Aid Committee.
Is it functional?
It's not.
Why is it not functional now?
Well, lawyers, they chose to be involved with their private matters and they did not cooperate with the past administration. And therefore, my predecessor did not have the benefit of committed lawyers who were willing to work. Many of them were appointed to committees that they did not work, they did not function, they did not cooperate. Now we are in the process of encouraging lawyers to serve on committees and render their quota so that the bar can become relevant to the society. The bar will take its rightful place in a society because the bar has a very enviable place in our society. And by the nonchalant attitude of our lawyers, by the failure to cooperate with the administration, the bar did not exert itself to the extent that it is desired. And so one of the things that we wish to do during this administration over the next 3 years is to make the bar relevant. And we are appealing to our lawyers to sign up for committees. And when they sign up, that they will be committed to the assignments for which they have volunteered. Coming back to your topic, legal aid, the legal aid committee of the bar would then become relevant to what we are talking about, to the strengthening the rule of law, to providing free legal services to indigent persons, and working with the judiciary and with other actors in the justice sector.
Sincerely,
for example, in the United States, it is a requirement of the Bar Association that lawyers should render free service on a periodic basis and report their free service to the bar. So we will get there one day, but these are some of the things we want to introduce during our administration that lawyers will know that lawyers are not just there to make money and get rich.
They are also there to help indigent people and poor people.
They should put something back into the society.
This is Reminder, you listening to Access to Justice on Star Radio FM 104. It's a Carter Center-sponsored program aimed at improving the rule of law and increasing access to justice across Liberia. I'm Bruce Boyer, and my host today is Counselor Micah Wright. Now, let's come back to the issue of having access to justice. You were talking about facilities being in place and having access to the courts and the court being fair enough to dispense justice the way they should. So do we have these facilities in place? Should they just be in one place or should they be scattered all over the country so that you can consider the condition of having access to justice?
That reminds me of the comments made by the Solicitor General and the Director of JPC. The contention of the JPC was that in as much as these facilities were not all around the country, then it was a denial of the access to justice to our people. I respectfully beg to disagree with my colleague, Councillor Toh. Now, we have to remember that even those developed countries that have the infrastructure and the facilities in place, it did not spring up overnight, and it had to start from somewhere and spread out. This is the context in which I am speaking.
So we're starting now?
Yeah. Now, this government has taken steps, and especially the judiciary itself, has taken steps to ensure that access to justice is available and affordable. By that I mean, at the moment, the judiciary, the Chief Justice, has ensured that there are functioning courts all around the country. The shortcoming there is that we do not have trained lawyers in all of the counties. I venture to say, I stand corrected, outside of Monserrato County, without being contradicted seriously, I don't know of any county where you have more than two qualified trained lawyers residing on a permanent basis. I don't know about that.
Could that absence of trained lawyers affect access to justice?
Obviously. When you talk about access to justice, lawyers are one of the focal points because lawyers know what rights and duties are imposed upon citizens. And lawyers it will take to prosecute and to vindicate those rights. And where lawyers are not present, we Liberians have a saying that says, in the land of the blind, one-eyed man is king. Well, you do not have trained lawyers, but you have persons engaged in the practice of law. Those persons are seen as king. And the opinions and the activities of those people are taken to be correct because the citizens do know better. And we are in the process of seeing to it that access to justice will be improved by ensuring that lawyers would be willing to take up assignments outside of Monrovia. This has already begun by efforts of the Justice Ministry. I'm aware of that, where they have employed college graduates, law school graduates, to take up permanent assignments and reside in counties outside of Monserrato.
As county attorneys.
It is my understanding at this point that if not all, 99% of the counties have trained county attorneys residing in those counties. Further to that, the judiciary, as a corollary to that, has also ensured that defense counsels, or what they call public defenders, are also matching the county attorneys in the various counties. If not all, at least the majority of the counties have both county attorneys and defense counsels who are law school graduates.
From your statements, Counselor, could we say we don't fully have access to justice, but something is now being done because the facilities are not there, lawyers to match are not there?
Being practical, I would agree with that. I would say that the country is moving towards, or the country is taking steps towards improving and enhancing the access to justice, which will thereby enhance the rule of law. All right? I agree with that statement by you that we're marching towards it. And it will not be overnight. It will take time. We here in Monrovia, we have the luxury of the facilities we have. We have internet. We have electricity. We have vehicles, for example. In counties away from Monrovia, you don't have public transportation like taxi and buses. At most, you have the motorcycle, what we call pen. You don't have research facilities for lawyers. You don't have libraries. And in fact, in many places, you don't even have courthouses. Mm. So it will take time for us to get there. But to just condemn the system and say, well, nothing is in place, nothing is happening, I don't think that is fair. Beyond that, we have our international partners who are assisting our country now, both government and non-governmental sectors. For example, the American Bar Association, they're working with the law school, they're working with the Supreme Court. I believe they may be also working with the Ministry of Justice and some other NGOs engaged in the justice sector to ensure that lawyers will be willing to leave Monrovia, the comfort of Monrovia, take up assignments out of Monrovia. In fact, for one of the things that they do, UNMIL, I'm aware, have monitors around the country where they monitor the progress that's being made, they monitor the disposition of cases in the different courts, they monitor the prison conditions. All of these are factors when you take together, combine to call what you call rule of law and access to justice. So our international partners are helping us, and the government is taking steps to strengthen the justice sector. And I believe it's not perfect, it's not where we want it to be, but we should say what is good and what is not good. And what is not good should be taken in good faith by the government and used as a benchmark to improve what we have. But by the same token, we who are not in government should not sit out and say, well, nothing is happening. When something is good, say so.
So it's good at least.
Well, it is improving. It is not what we want it to be, but the government is trying. And we can help. We can help to make the conditions better than what they are for our people.
How can Liberians, their international partners, and you, lawyers, especially the National Bar Association, help to improve access to justice across Liberia?
From the government side, they have to take it seriously and allocate resources. It must not just be by public pronouncement, by words alone. It must be demonstrated in their action. When the government is saying rule of law is pillar number 3, I think, in the public poverty reduction strategy.
Yes.
It must not just be by word of mouth. Mm. Government must put its money where its mouth is. That means to say they want rule of law, they must put money there. When it's time to make the money available, they must make the physical cash available so that people who are required and facilities that are required to enhance the rule of law must be put in place. But it cannot be on paper alone. When you go to the budget director, he said, we ain't got money. You go to the Minister of Finance, he said, we cut down the money. Without security, without the rule of law, all the other pillars will be jeopardized. You talk about economic growth. You talk about infrastructure development. You talk about political, you talk about peace and the rest of it. All of those things will not be enhanced except the rule of law is enhanced. In my mind, I mean, I'm not taking issue with President Sirleaf, but in her poverty reduction strategy, if I were one of her advisors, rule of law would be pillar number 1.
Why?
And the reason is rule of law talks about justice, access to justice. It talks about security in the society. It talks about physical safety, mobility, freedom of movement, freedom of speech. All of these are part of rule of law. In my mind,
that should have been pillar number 1.
This is pillar number 1. It should be priority number 1 of this government, because you're talking about building road. If you don't have security, When those people go on the road to bail, rope will jump on them, steal up all the material, they will fight them. Nothing will matter because the police will be impotent. Police will not be able to arrest or would be perpetrators. You talk about attracting investors. How will investors come? Will they have confidence in your system when the rule of law is not there, when the courts are not functioning, when they cannot trust the courts, when the environment for them to invest is not secure? They go and bail a building, the poor can't loot it. The police don't have investigating techniques. They don't have investigating equipment.
They don't even have vehicles to move around.
They don't have communication sets. How will the police be effective in tracking down crime? How will investors be secure in their mind to bring their money here? So economic growth, all the big companies, Metal Steel, BRE, all the big companies, they will not come if this place is not safe. And therefore, I'm respectfully submitting that rule of law is pillar number one for this government that's coming out of war. If you don't strengthen the rule of law, those other things will be short-lived, and after everything, people will get frustrated and will go back. We'll begin to fall. We'll begin to fall, and this government will not live up on the promises made during the campaign.
Is justice affordable to the Liberian people?
In the short answer, I would say yes. Let me just say that our people must learn that justice is not only being declared to be right. When you are declared to be wrong, then there is no justice. When you are, once you win a case, then you say, oh, the courts are fair, the court is good. But immediately you lose a case, then there is corruption. We should see it in the context that justice only means that each person will get what they deserve in keeping with law.
They claim they pay a lot of money. Some are less, they pay money a lot. So there's no justice for the poor.
Well, again, we come back to access to justice. In non-criminal matters, your right to come to court is guaranteed by law. But to put your right in motion, you need lawyers. If you don't have the money to pay lawyers, you will not get good lawyers.
What about in criminal matters?
No, in criminal matters, it's not true. The government is there. If you cannot pay a lawyer, the law, the constitution, the statutes require the government. And in some cases, in recent past, the government has appointed defense lawyers for person accused. So in criminal matters, it does not exist. Access to justice, I would say, is almost 100%.
Even at the lowest level, the magistrate
level? Even at the magisterial level and across the country. Because without speaking for the Ministry of Justice, I'm aware that they have a program now, what they call mobile prosecution, where they have employed one or two lawyers in addition to the county attorneys, where if there's a problem in Grand Cru, for example, they airlift that lawyer and send him there to assist the county attorney. So in other words, they are assisting, they are promoting the access to justice by employing people that would be accessible to go around the country. And that is one way it can be done. You know, so it will take time, we'll get there, but it's a process. And I want to appeal to our people. And the Bar Association, of which I head, will do whatever we can to assist our people. Because our Bar Association is a civic organization, is a civil society organization. We are non-governmental, we are non-partisan. We don't take sides in matters. We render ourselves as an institution. It is our role to ensure that we speak out on issues that affect the well-being of the society. And access to justice affects the welfare of our people. And the bar will not sit quietly when issues arise that adversely impacts upon our people and their rights are denied. The bar will not sit by idly and keep quiet. The bar is going to react to it. The bar is going to be proactive. In many instances, we're not going to let things happen first. We're going to prevent things from happening.
Thank you very much, Councillor Wright.
Thank you very much, Bruce. It's been a pleasure coming to share with you and to enlighten our people. And at any time, when you feel the Bar Association can clarify and comment on issues, please feel free to call on us. We'll always be available.
The voice of Councillor Marka Wilkins Wright, the president of the National Bar Association of Liberia. He's been my guest today on the program Access to Justice, the Carter Center sponsored program on Star Radio FM 104. My name is Bruce Boatu. Have a pleasant time.